My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill, what do you have for us today?
Well, we got a sponsor.
Fire away.
Hey, Pat Bay Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They deal in everything, tractors, mowers, any kind of turf products you're looking for. Give them a call down there, 226-9226. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they're ready to go down there. They're getting their inventory in, and could probably take care of about any ag or turf need you have.
Or generators. Don't forget that.
We're not out of fire season yet, so...
I know, we just heard sirens.
Yeah, there's it's still warm and the wind's blowing. So run down there and get a brand new Honda. They've got them in stock. Or you can go...
And they're so quiet and so easy to use that...
Well, there's one running in the studio right now. Can you hear it?
Bill's got one in his pocket.
Yeah.
So easy to use, even my sister and her husband can use it.
Yeah.
Far as we know.
Yeah, yeah. You can get them on the web at papaymachinery.com.
I had to look away. Look away!
Look away! Yeah, so what do you have for us today?
What's going on? So first off, before I forget, because I forget sometimes... we have 10 years of archives for people to listen to. You've got a really, really wide range of topics. We did so many shows on veterans, South Africa, China, Islam, environmentalism, national security, marijuana, and then we have a category called bad eggs. Those were bad bureaucrats, where we did extensive deep dives on the bad bureaucrats. And those pages get a lot of hits, by the way. Each of those has... lists of shows. They're all across the top of the page, and all the programs we did on that topic, and then the archives list all the stuff that's outside of that. But none of it's there's nothing you have to pay for. They're MP3 files. You can download them easily. They're not tricky or complicated. I'm not sure if it has a... Well, it's all clean, you know, so I was going to say, I'm not sure if it has an age range, but I guess it does, just depends on your interest. But if you want to learn the whole story, we're a good source for that. And I should also suggest that if people are, you hear an interview with somebody and it's a minute and a half long and they never really get to say anything and you're thinking, well, that person looked interesting, shoot us that information and we'll see if we can't get them to come on and tell us the rest of it. I do have a guy who is just a... ton of information. He's going to come on about fracking next week, maybe the week after. I've been looking for somebody to do a show on fracking forever. You hear a lot about it, and it's like it seems to all be one way, and there's not really anything factual given, and it's a lot of hysteria, and then you hear that was fake. So I want to find out what's going on with this.
We need to know the good, bad, and ugly.
I want to know what's going
fracking.
On with fracking.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a 2-hour show on that here coming up. And today is September 27th, 2020. I also heard there's a movement to stop the daylight savings time rollback because nobody wants another hour of 2020.
No kidding. Let's get it over with.
Let's just be done.
It's one hit up. After another.
Let's have another hour forward and see if we can get there quicker. So I titled our show today China Update because I wasn't really sure which direction we were going to go. Not that it matters. We just follow along anyway. But our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen, was on... last week, the last half of last week, we played a show from, the Great Beyond. It was the first time he came on with us, actually, and I thought, well, that'd be a good setup for this coming week. So he has, he's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years, founded and co-founded or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He started his activism back in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre and he founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He served on the board and of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And it's a fairly long thing. I won't read it all, but I would really suggest you go look at his credentials because we hear a lot of people now talking about China, and it tends to be fairly skewed. It's either people who think, what? China? They didn't do anything wrong. Or the other people that are like, oh, you have no idea kind of stuff these guys have been up to. I'll skip to the end, though. He was born in China in 1962, so he's a year younger than I am. And, well, he's younger than Bill.
Just a wee child.
By more. At the age of 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. Currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. Don't worry, we probably won't talk about molecular biology because...
Oh, man, I was going to try to segue into that a little bit.
Yeah, Bill's really topics. Sad. We're always sad. Yeah. We don't do a lot of science. Well, we might do some science, but... Anyway, Dr. Chen, I know there is a lot going on, and we have not had an update from you in a while, so kind of yours to run with, however you'd like to go on this.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Can you hear me?
We can.
Loud and clear.
Sound great.
Hello, everybody in the audience. Yeah, there's a lot has been going on for the, things are happening so quickly, but also so strangely. A lot of this are, yes, covered in a strange way, but a lot of this are not, have not been covered. So, because you're so, to us Chinese, right, to those who have been familiar with the situation, and also know how to watch it. There's so much that's been going on. But relatively speaking, there's little coverage. I mean, there are a lot of coverage, okay, the coronavirus. But there's a lot of lack of coverage. And, some of it is because the lack of understanding. A lot of this is because there are still effort to cover up for the CCP, well, that's the Chinese Communist Party, right? So let me just go into some of the things that have happened and how I read this event, and some of this are perhaps not so familiar to our audience. So now the coronavirus that has still ravaging the world, but also in China. Some people use the second wave of coronavirus. I think that's inaccurate because, the first wave never ended. I mean, it's continuous, right? It's going to different places, but it's the same pandemic. So on that, there are a lot of that is going on. So I'll come back to it. But then on top of the coronavirus, there was a major flood in over half of China. Some were once at a very dangerous, the flood is a threat to, even break the Three Gorges Dam. Let me ask you, if you have heard about it.
I was just going to tell you, kind of interesting, since we started talking to you, we finally know what CCP is. And for those of you that are just catching up, it's the Chinese Communist Party. But you do see that more. So you've smartened us up on that. However, I haven't heard anything about a flood, but we have to take a really quick break. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can search that while we're on the break. And when we come back, we'll see what it gives us, but you'll have a ton more information. We're going to be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
shall we do about them?
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
Yeah.
I knew if I put that one in the queue, we'd use it one day. Couldn't help myself. Okay, Dr. Chen, back on a serious note. I just watched a tiny video during the break, and Bill, turns out Bill kind of knew about the flood. I sort of missed it, but oh my gosh, the whole country looks like Houston. I mean, the houses are floating.
Right. So those, a lot of those are the flood, okay, is real.
Yeah.
But many houses are underwater. There's another reason for it, right? It's not entirely natural. So this, okay, this is, first of all, this is the worst flood in China. For as far as history knows, right? But it got little coverage. There's some coverage, but the coverage is, out of proportion. Not in proportion with this, okay? This is the worst. And why there's little coverage? Okay, let me start out with inside China, right? And this is, okay, something I learned long ago, back in 2008, when there was an earthquake in Wenchuan. And from that, I realized the Chinese government is a failed government. The government is a failure, right? So if we look up on Wikipedia, there's a definition of failure government or government failure or failure state. In that concept, okay. So now, through this, I learned there's something called the counter government. I'll come back to this, but let me talk about how this worst flood was dealt in China. Right? Nobody would have imagined how they dealt with it. They deal it with not dealing with it, completely hiding from it. Okay, there were other floods before. There were other natural disaster before. I mean, like in any other country, right? Even the CCP, back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, right? The communist leader at that time would at least go to an epicenter of a natural disaster, whether it's earthquake or flood or, a plague or something or explosion or whatever, okay? So they would show up to show that they're in control. Right? But this time, this flood, no leader, no national leader showed up in anywhere during the height of the flood. The flood is so dangerous that the Three Gorges, the largest dam itself, is in great danger.
Yeah, because that's one of the big stories right now, is that that dam is potentially going to fail because of poor construction and the super high water level. And there's truth to that?
There is. There's a lot of truth to it. Actually, itself is a scandal. The construction of the Three Gorges itself is a scandal. And that explains, in part, why this is not talked about. So, let me give you a little bit of history of the Three Gorges Dam. It was a controversial idea. And so, not even Mao Zedong, Chairman Mao, approved it. But after the June 4th, at that time, the China Premier's name is a guy called named Li Peng. He used to be the Minister of Hydro Electricity, electricity power. Okay, so it was his pet project. Right. So after the June 4th massacre, he and Jiang Zemin, people should be familiar with that name. This would be Jiang Zemin would be a name. In the future, would be worse, would be more infamous than Stalin, Hitler, Nero, all those worst demonic names in the history. Right? So I'm making a statement here, and a lot of things we say. I like this program a lot because a lot of things we say in this program, we are a few months ahead, at least a few months ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So this name, I hope people to start to recognize that name. Right? This is the worst, not one of the worst, but absolutely the worst demonic person in the entire human history. Right? So he and Jiang Gang together used the political power after the June 4th massacre to power through, to start this project. Now, quite a few international, there are several countries, their companies are involved in this. So this is a huge project, and the economics, the money that could be made from this project, right, caused some of the companies from other countries, I won't name them here, to be greedy and support this. It's a total disregard of of Chinese people's wellness, right? And so this is part of the reason that why this is not covered, right? So at the beginning, when the Chinese government tried to justify the building of the dam, they got some scientists to say this dam will stop once in 10,000 year flood. So, and they've been saying this up to the finish, the completion of the construction of the three dams. And then in the next couple of years, they changed. I say, okay, this dam will be able to stop, once in a flood. That's once in a thousand times. Once in a thousand years. So it was once in 10,000 years. Right? And then now it can stop flood that would happen once in once that's at a scale of once in a 10,000 year, right? And then in the next couple of years, and then it gets down to once in 100 year. Okay, so there was that's a deception already. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of history, but go back to what happened this year. So this year, when really half of China is threatened by, well, not threatened, suffered floods in all places. The Three Gorges is a national, it definitely is a national crisis, because if that dam is broken by the flood, right? Some people calculated over 600 million people.
Wow.
Downstream from that dam would be killed. It should be a national crisis. It actually should be international watch point. It should be a focus of that. Right. There's little coverage. Right. And then at the government level.
Hold that thought, and let's take a really quick break and come back with that so I don't cut you off mid-thought, although I probably just did. Sorry. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water.
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area, KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
Seems like we have a lot of good music for today. Every time we talk to you, Dr. Jen, it's like, let's see, how many songs do we have about things that are bad? So talk about the government part now. Like, you had the inspector. And Bill was saying, too, that the inspectors at the beginning, he was just reading a thing, the inspectors at the beginning thought that it would fail, and yet they just did it anyway.
So in this Three Gorges Dam crisis should be an international crisis. That should get international attention. Right? Yet there's little coverage. Right? Now, on to this crisis itself. The highest government official to say anything in China, to say anything in press conference, to answer any question, was the third ranking or fifth ranking minister, deputy or assistant secretary from the hydraulic power department. So that is a very low ranking government official in response to this national, should have been a national crisis. Right? So, to make an analogy, now we know coronavirus has become a international crisis. It's becoming a pandemic. But if China or if the CCP was able to cover up, to suppress it, we wouldn't even know about it. Right? So there are many potential coronavirus crises has been covered up so far already. And so it says, it tells us the other way around, that because there's so many potential big things has been covered up, so anything that broke out in China, it would instantly become international crisis. And this is something we got to realize. I think what is more dangerous than danger itself, or what is more dangerous than a danger, is not aware, not even knowing that danger is coming.
Sure.
That is what is going on with world, with the whole world towards China. Now, of course, we know a little bit about coronavirus. Okay, now, let me go back to the flood. This flood, right, if you know, some people, not just some people, a lot of people, quite a few, some, you know, people with good credentials said if it broke, you know, 600 million people would be killed, downstream, right? You know, let's cut half of it, okay? 300 million people, right? That's a big deal, right? Let's lessen it to 100 million. That's still a big crisis, but it gets little coverage. Right? And so, now then, why? First of all, that is a failure, okay? When such a major thing like coronavirus, now coronavirus is a result, not only the result of a cover-up. Now, we all learn to condemn. There's a lot of a condemning or criticism, or some people try to press charges against China for the CCP for covering up. It's first of all, a failure. That is a failed government. That's how this government is going to handle everything coming out of from China. Coronavirus is not an exception, but a rule. And this is proven by the flood. Now, the world doesn't even get to know it. Right? There's some coverage, but not proportioned to the crisis. So, that, first of all, is a failure. But because China is so big, any of its failure, if it become true, would be a humanity's crisis. And this is one thing that humanity still doesn't realize, that a crisis in China, because how that government covers up or fail, right? It instantly becomes a humanity's crisis. And so why, then we ask the question, why all this crisis gets covered up?
It's kind of mind-blowing. The things they covered up are so big.
Right.
Well, I think it's a little easier to cover up when you have media is state controlled. I mean, the people are only going to hear what the state wants them to hear. So anything else would be a rumor.
Because the true reason is because this is systematic failure. Because China is a failed state. And the failure is a systematic failure. It's the communism. It's the whole system. Right? So any crisis, any natural disaster would expose that failure, would make that system illegitimate. And so for the survival of that system, the failed for the survival of the failed system, it has to use all means to cover up. So that process make the failure, make a disaster bigger and bigger. It's a self-generating disaster until it can no longer contain. So that is a system that it's a cancer that the whole humanity have to deal with.
Right.
Have to realize that it's, if it's not COVID, we call it COVID-19. Right? But if it's not COVID-19, it will be COVID-20. It's just inevitable. Right? So if it's not espionage or economic, we call it economic espionage, right? That, you know, we Americans are angry about, then it will be something else. That is a disaster in the making. It's a matter of time. Right? So let me give you another example. Right. This will be another. This is a crisis in the making already. So, because of the flood and a number of there's on top of that flood, there's other problems in China, locust and other diseases, and there are many other problems. A smaller problem that I don't want to, spend time on. But as a result of coronavirus flood crisis. Oh, by the way, the flood crisis. Right? How is it disappeared? It did not disappear, but how is disappear in a way? Okay, and without international awareness, without people's awareness, okay, the authorities discharged the flood in many regions, in many, without informing the people. So a lot of people get killed because when you discharge a flood from a dam, you're supposed to inform the people downstream. To prepare to move, right?
Well, when you don't inform them, there's not many people to complain. I mean, it pretty well takes care of the problem. That's terrible.
Right. Right. So that's how they deal with it. It is a failed system trying to cover up its failure. And that's what China is. Right. So because of this, it's one failure leading to another failure. One crisis inevitably leads to another crisis. And the next crisis is actually coming. It's already made.
It seems like every crisis that happens is a little bigger than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's inevitable, by the way. Because that's the mechanism driving it, right? It's a failed system, but the system do not allow people to know it's a failure. So it's cover up. In the process of covering up, it makes the failure bigger. So the next crisis is already here. But I don't know whether you know about it. It's a food crisis, food shortage, because the flood has decimated food production in many places.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. Plus, they've already had flooding and locusts, so the only thing left is famine.
Yeah.
You know.
We have to take a really quick break when we come back. Maybe I better start playing some happy music in the middle.
Not good.
Yeah, we'll work on that. We're coming right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I don't wanna stay here.
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
I figure if we're going to talk about food shortages, like if I was the CCP, that's a song I'd be playing all over the place. I'd be coming out all the little speakers in the mall and everywhere. No, nothing to see here. Move along. Well, don't worry, it'll be fine. Yikes.
Well, that's what the government is telling in China as well.
And yeah. So I was kind of channeling it.
So now to make it worse. In the past year or so, there are a number of major fire or arson that took place in the strategic food, grain storage site in China. So a lot of grains, strategic grain storage, were burned accidentally, right? And they are not accidents, right? They are the local, whoever is in charge of the storage, their way to make their problem to go away, because they have stolen and profit from those storages. They sold them. They make money from it. But the food are gone. So how they're gonna be accountable? They start a fire, they're all burned down. So,
right.
Wipe out all the evidence. Right. So this is compounding the problem. So now, the danger of famine. Now, I hope it doesn't develop into a famine, but the crisis is already there. Because let me ask you, what is the worst of famine in human history? Which one?
Gosh, there's been so many.
What?
I say there's been so many, it's hard to say.
Well, they always had the Ethiopians and
a lot of famine in Africa.
A lot of famine in Africa.
Right. But on textbook or what's available in most people would know that the Ukraine famine.
That's true. There's that one.
Yeah, made or brought into existence by Stalin was the worst famine, because 20 million people were starved to death. Right? So, but 20 million, that's just no, but that is not the worst. The largest man-made famine happened in China in the winter of 1959 to 1960. 60 million people starved to death.
And that was under Stalin?
No. It was in China.
Oh, China.
That's under China.
1959 to 1960.
Mao, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that gets little talked. Right? So, the current flood crisis, whether it will become a famine, I don't know. Right? I hope not. But there's a food crisis. Right? So, now, facing all this, what happened? What did the Chinese government respond to this? And let me just tell you here, and to see if it makes sense. So while all this is going on, the Chinese government forcibly forced through the Hong Kong sedition law. That caused rightly justifiably an international outcry, and the United States government responded by sanctioning some of the Chinese officials in Hong Kong, also passed through a Hong Kong democracy law, right? And then China caused a border conflict with India. Now, there was some fighting in India. And then South China Sea crisis. And then the Taiwan Strait crisis. And then last month, the CCP ordered Inner Mongolia to stop teaching Mongolian language.
Mm.
Think about this, right? When they have a whole bunch of problems that they should deal with, right? They not only didn't deal with it, they're trying to start fire elsewhere. You know, in the border conflict with India, in South China Sea conflict. So, and then, most incredibly, a couple weeks ago, Xi Jinping, the current CCP leader, ordered a celebration meeting or a celebration of China overcoming or winning a resounding victory over the coronavirus. So, now, this is more than a failed government.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. So, now, in our normal thinking, right, they're intelligent. People who are smart. They're less smart people. They're people with a low wit. But then, until I realized what's going on with China, I thought, wow, there are counter-intelligence or counter-wit. That there's things that, you know, not only intelligent people would not be doing, stupid people will not do it. Okay? They're saying that stupid people is not capable of doing. So the worst we can think of government is a failed government. But the CCP is doing something beyond being stupid. No, they're not stupid.
Yeah, these aren't accidents, all these things that they do.
So that system is designed to do counter-governance. And so once we realize that, yeah, we talk about many people outside China have been commenting the Chinese government, or actually the CCP, right? What they say, the Chinese government, it's really the CCP. They say, when we're competing with the CCP, we often fail because the Chinese government take a long view. We only take short view. So our short view is no competition against your long view. They are willing to sacrifice short-term gain and do a long... Their vision is very long, so our short view cannot compete with the long view. No. The Chinese government, or actually the CCP, do not have a long view. They have a counter view.
Say that again. They have a what?
counter-view.
Oh, a counter-view.
Or counter-governance.
Okay.
So it's like normal government would do certain things to fulfill the government responsibility. The Chinese government is beyond a failed government. It's a counter-government. It does things a normal government absolutely wouldn't do. It makes no sense. But they have been doing it. They have been doing it for years.
Well, isn't a lot of that because they never get challenged? I mean, there isn't any nations out there other, I think, than the United States right now that's challenging China on just about anything.
Well, they've disarmed the people, and they've... I mean, it's got to be pretty scary living in a country where you know that the government would willingly infect you with a virus, starve you, flood you. I mean, human life's pretty cheap there. Or harvest your organs. I mean, there's always that joyride that's available.
Mm-hmm. So I think this brings up the next topic that I want to cover. That is how United States have been dealing with it, because there's some update on that we should be aware of also. I think the Trump administration is doing great, yet I think that there are some still new things that we should be aware of, but I see that our time is coming up.
Yes, the time's always coming up, isn't it? But that's cool. We have a whole another hour. So we will be chatting with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chin. You are listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us. People Radio is now on television in the Reading area, KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network. Good afternoon, and welcome back to We the People Radio. The second half of our show here on September 27th, 2020. And my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor of this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if there's anything ag, turf-related, generators, weed whackers, they're also a steel dealer, so all your steel products are in stock. Go by and see them. Or give them a call at 226-9226, or get them on the web at papemachinery.com. And that's P-A-P-E, by the way, machinery.
Yeah, because it sounds tricky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pepe.
Something.
Pape. Yeah, it's Pape.
And, so just one thing I'd throw in is they're a really good employer, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you happen to live in a place where, because they have how many stores?
Oh, bunches? Gosh. 160.
Yeah, if you happen to live in a place that has a Pape store, they're a really good company to work for. Family-owned, like second generation?
Yeah, second or third generation, yeah.
Which is usually where it all falls apart. And actually, that hasn't happened, so that's a rare and wonderful change. So, that being said, we are going to continue on discussing China with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chin. And I was going to add, in the middle of his bio, I kind of always go for the beginning and the end. But in the middle, it's pretty interesting. So he's spoken extensively on the issues of human rights in China. And since 2001, he's frequented meetings of the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva and spoken to the council. He's spoken to many forums that are pushing for the cause of human rights. And I think that when it comes to China and human rights, I don't think we have enough people piping up on this. So it's a very important thing that he's doing. He actually was a panelist at the annual meeting of the California Bar Association. He's spoken to Amnesty International's U.S. West region and made numerous appearances at various forums and on radio. Here we are, and TV and interviews. So if you have a group or a program, or you listen to another radio show and you think, hey, their audience would really like this too, get a hold of us. All our contact information is at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll put you in touch with Dr. Chen so that you can get his information firsthand. He's also co-authored several books, and he's telling me something. Yes? Are you telling us a better way to contact you?
Going through you is a good way. But I can get, but right now there's so many annoying phone calls, so the number that I recognize, I don't pick their phone call. So
yeah, the phone's turned out to be a bit of a loser.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be great when we had cell phones, because then only people who knew us would call. But this is harkening back to our childhood with the landline on the kitchen wall, and you just never knew who was on it. If people have interest, email me, and I'd be happy to forward that to Dr. Chen. He's done a bunch of different things, written several books, co-authored on Stories of Conscience, the Falun Gong Report. Falun Gong, Humanity's Last Stand, and now in a third edition, and most recently a comprehensive report on the extensive psychiatric torture taking place in China. So these are the things that we, besides the fact they don't tell us that the largest dam in the world is in China and failing, besides that, and that, you know, there's a, likely a famine on its way, people really don't have access. I think in the mainstream media, they just never cover the human rights abuses. And I'll just be political for 5 seconds.
No.
I'm guessing under a Joe Biden administration, we're never going to hear about human rights abuses in China. I think that would...
No,
that's already been prepackaged and ready to go.
That'd be about the worst thing that could possibly happen to your cause, I think.
Let me add a few words to that.
Please do.
So, we, in this country, we Americans, you know, realize it or not, we have been invaded by the CCP. What President Trump called invisible enemy. They already killed 200,000 Americans. That's a war. Right? And I'm startled to see that, you know, there's not a clear cut anti-CCP platform. In half of our two-party system, you know, do people realize that Democrat National Convention, they don't talk about China? This is a war. This is the greatest crisis we have faced this country in many years. And yet, they don't talk about it. Now, that's fine. What's startling, what really surprised me is that the party that put resisting the CCP's, you know, aggression as its most important agenda, that is the Republicans, they're not leading by a landslide.
I know, that's amazing, isn't it?
Right. It really puzzles me, but I do have an explanation. Right, the concept we brought up today, that counter government, right? Really, that's a, you know, there could be a better word to describe it, but the concept should cause some people to think that behind that concept, really is that. This communism, the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, is counter humanity. It's a counter-humanity force. And we have not come to a full understanding of it. I wholeheartedly support the current administration's policy, new policy, against the CCP. But I must say that this is just at the very beginning. Our understanding of the damage, the threat, the peril that the CCP has forced upon us is, our understanding of that is still very shallow. Right? Let me say about this, address this in two aspects. Right? So one of the things that Secretary Pompeo and including other cabinet members of the Trump administration have said that they want to separate China. They want to separate the CCP from the country China. And that's absolutely correct.
Okay. How would they even do that?
They just say that refuse to acknowledge that the CCP represents China.
Okay, so
yeah.
But isn't that the only isn't that the only government in China?
Right. So you brought up the right point. Exactly. So,
yeah. Who do you talk to?
Yeah. So while they can deny the representation of China by the CCP, which is correct, I agree. The CCP is not China. CCP is contra China, against China.
Mm-hmm.
But the current administration still deal with the Chinese government as a Chinese government. That is not a real government. We need to realize that's a failed government. It's a counter government. It's against government. We may have to deal with it, but we may not have to deal with it. If we want to deal with it, we must find a way to tell the CCP that you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be where you are, right?
Well, I think the fastest way to do that would be to expose them, and that seems to be the part that our media would do, but they have heretofore done a terrible job.
Can't seem to convince them to pipe up.
We've got to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chin. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem.
We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
Speaking of that, we hope you do send this show to your friends and family. It's about the only way we're going to smarten everybody up on these major topics is if we the people do it, because something's happening in our media. They all seem to be obsessed with the same stuff, and I don't know. You know, there are a lot of shows who do a pretty good job of doing compilations of the talking points of the day, and it seems that you can watch any channel at any time, and they all say the exact same thing. Like, how does that work? Does everybody get a memo or something? I'm just excited we're not on the memo list. We're not
exactly
on the distribution
we
for the memo.
We don't get it.
No, we don't get the memo. Although we would mock the memo if we did. So in case they do want to send it to us, we'd love to make fun of it.
Might be why we don't get it.
That's probably exactly why we don't get it. So, Dr. Jen, if the United States was going to deal with somebody, you know, a government entity or someone useful in China that wasn't the CCP, does that even exist currently?
We have to identify them. We have to help them. And this brings up the second point up. By the way, I have to apologize to you and to our audience. Because the nature of our discussion, that all this topic, we only have time, we only have the information to touch them very lightly. So many of the things that we have discussed before, I think we were the first one to say that WHO, messages of COVID-19 up, and a few months later, it becomes a major topic. So it's because of the nature, we can only touch this topic very lightly, but each topic, we can make multiple grams into it, like a flood, right? In China, right? But we're only just deal with it in 15 minutes or so. So now back to this topic, that how are we gonna identify them? And this is bringing up a second topic, key point of the U.S. policy, new policy towards China. And that is, Secretary Pompeo advocated or declared that we want to make a distinction between the CCP and the Chinese people. Right? And again, I agree with that 100%. Right? But what does it mean? What does it entail? So what it needs to be done? A lot of the, so every 10 hours, FBI Director Christopher Wray, back in July gave a speech and disclosed every 10 hours. There's a Chinese economic espionage case, be brought up, right? The thing is, those spies, majority of those spies are not trained. They're not professionally trained. They are actually your common Chinese friend, perhaps your neighbor. For some reason, they become Chinese agents.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's a very deep reason behind it. And we need to understand. We need to understand how China is a 5,000 or even longer civilization. The Chinese people, as far as I know, and you look around, a lot of Chinese, they're nice people. But how a large number of them, this is a very large number of them, turned into spies. And they're not trained to be spies. So we need to understand that. And there are many reasons, but one of the reasons that I want to bring up is that because the destruction of value, the destruction of moral value, and the destruction of their national pride that made those nice Chinese people into spies to commit crimes. Because there's a lost, there's no standard that they can follow. We talk about in this program that currently in China, there are only two values that are permitted by the authority. Monetary and nationalistic.
And nationalistic so we, what?
Again, nationalistic, well, the Chinese government claim it's as a nationalistic, well, your love for our country.
Okay.
Basically, you know, Chinese people are supposed to love China, just like, you know,
yeah,
black
sure.
people are supposed to, black people are supposed to vote for Biden, right? If you don't vote for me.
That's right. You're not black. You're not black if you don't vote for Biden, yeah.
Right. It's the same logic.
Hmm.
Mind you, it's the same logic, right? If we have time, I want to delve into that. Right. What the Chinese, what the CCP have done to the Chinese people, logically, substantively, essentially, is the same thing that what the radical Democrats have done to, African Americans. Right. But if we have time, I'll come back to this topic. But hey, that's political correctness. Recognize that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you are an African American and you don't vote for Biden, that is politically incorrect. It is only politically correct if you vote for, Biden. But that's the same kind of thing, in China. We talk about this program. And again, I apologize to our audience. All of this topic, we have only have the time to touch on up on them very lightly. But we did talk about that currently in China, there are only two values that's permitted by the government. One is money, right? The richer you are, the more glorious you are. And second, you must love the country, i.e., you must love CCP.
Right.
If you do not love CCP, you're dead.
Yeah, literally.
So, but they don't call it that way. They care love for our nation, right? So it's nationalistic love. But in reality, it's a nationalistic hatred. It's what I call before national hatredism, right? Look at in the United States. The people who vote, right? There's polls to say that people who would vote for Trump is because they love Trump, right? People who would vote for Biden is out of their hatred towards There's a parallel there. And that's why I say, you know, the logic behind it, the substance behind it is the same, right? But the love for China, national love in China is not a love, it's a hatred. And that's what the Chinese government has turned Chinese nationals into. And this is something that our scholars, our policymakers, our media, if they want to, our media, right? If they want to, they need to understand. And then, based on that, to come up with a better, more successful China policy. Right now, the China policy is good, but I think to go to the next step, we need a deeper understanding into why that is, right? And for now, let me just say that the reason why the mainstream media or the Democrat-leaning media do not criticize or try to avoid criticizing the CCP is because they are the one that invited the CCP in the United States.
That's a fair point. Okay, so let's take a really quick break so I don't have to bust that up, because that's a good thing to bring up. Yeah, how did all this wind up here and so deeply embedded? It'd be a nice thing for you to clue people in on. So you're listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back. We the People Radio is now on television in the Reading area, KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network. It's one of those songs where you can't miss the point and you can't miss the words. They wanted to make sure you got it. That would be like the CCP theme song, actually. Because they basically get everybody to spy for them free. I mean, it's not like they all go to, you know, CIA school and learn how to spy.
Right.
This is just like a giant, you know, kind of, I don't know about you, but kind of reminds me of what's going on here with this idiotic mask thing and all that. You have all these people that think it's okay to run around and tattle on their neighbors. And
well, and then unfortunately you have the people that will do it just for money. I mean, I think they just busted a guy here that was in.
Yeah, he's got to do a year in jail because he had people at his house or something.
Well, no, they had a guy that was
the rules.
Spying for 20 years for him, making tons of money.
For the Chinese, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about the thing. How do you get everyone to do that? Well, I mean, we're seeing it here in the United States. Who would have ever thought we'd have, you know, I mean, we used to make fun of that. Helen Kravitz, I don't know if you know old American TV, but Helen Kravitz was a character on Bewitched, and she was the nosy neighbor lady across the street who was always looking out her shades. And, kind of, she was like the neighborhood rat squad.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made fun of that for years.
No, but now, I mean, you
go like
somewhere
Helen Kravitz
and you don't have
is
a mask.
Everywhere.
Well, who was telling us the other day that somebody got in their face and was going to call the police because he didn't have a mask on?
Yeah.
It's like, go ahead.
This is where it starts, huh?
Yep, this is it.
Confirm that for me, Dr. Chen. Is this how we get everybody to do what the Chinese have done?
Well, we have to. Okay, so let me go back a little bit, okay? We have our new China policy because we are threatened by this CCP virus that came from China. That's a rude jolt to us. If it's not that, we may not even at where we are. Right? But we need to understand better, because our policy now, basically, our current policy is disengage with the CCP or disengage with China. And so we're pulling back our businesses, we're pulling back our international collaboration. We're just trying to cut all the ties with what we had with China. Right? So that's called the disengaging. Disengaging with a bad government or evil government is good. But I think we need to do better. We need to engage with the good people. We need to support those people who try to do good. Right? So I want to advocate for that, right? And so that is one thing that I think are still not strong, right? So you ask a good question, right? How do we identify who we're to work with? There are good people, right? So, but I want to go back to how we get invaded first. The United States, not since 1812, have ever been invaded by a foreign country. Right. Not even the Nazis, not even the Soviet Union have ever invaded our country. But Secretary Pompeo said this is not a Cold War 2.0. And he said, in a way, resisting the CCP is more difficult than to the Soviet Union, because the CCP has enmeshed with our economy, our society, you know, our culture, right? And how did that happen? The invasion, by the way, the invasion did not happen when China became a powerhouse, economic powerhouse. It actually happened when the CCP was at its weakest, most vulnerable. That's after the 1989 June 4th massacre, and after the collapse of communism in East Europe and Russia. That is when the CCP was at its weakest. And how did they play this trick to us, to America? When we talked about in this video again, we talked about something I named it, generous barbarism. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Generous barbarism.
Right. CCP at that time claimed that, listen, we are not Hitler. We are not Stalin. We will not only threaten you, we'll make you profit. Right? And you don't have to pay a dime. All you have to do is look away how I profit. And you're going to get the share of that profit. Right. So, basically the CCP bribed the U.S. establishment, elites, into the silence of the CCP crimes in China. And profit from it. Basically, we agreed to let the CCP to become our white gloves to do the bloody job. But unfortunately, that invited the CCP into our life, into this country. And they're still here. And those people who invited them to be here, they are the reason why the media are not talking about it, why Americans do not know about it, why the Democrat National Conference did not talk about China. Why Biden? Remember, less than a year ago, Biden claimed China is not our enemy. But when he talked about China as his enemy, he doesn't make a distinction between the CCP and China. So it is the same force that has invited the CCP into our lives, into our economy, that is still defending or avoiding the topic of the CCP. And that is the deeper problem. And that is something that we to really have a more effective China policy, this is something that we need to deal with. We need to have more public awareness, or our scholars have to look into it. And you know, then this is the thing. This is the thing that I want to do my best to bring up public awareness. And then we also have to realize, because of that, because that infiltration, it's over 20 years. The invasion started in 1989. It's more than a quarter of a century that we have invited that into our country. And so communism is alive and well in the United States. I remember that when I first came to the United States, and back in the 1980s, 1990s, the hottest topic, the political debate at that time, for many years, is pro-choice and pro-life. And that was the most serious topic at that time.
Gosh, we've come a long way since then, haven't we?
Yeah, no kidding.
We have gone downhill from then. What we're, the topic we're talking now are, you know, anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
The society was never as divided as now. The Americas. And the United was never as divided as now. And very important reason is communism. They don't call it communism. They call it socialism.
Mm-hmm.
They call it progressives. They call it social justice. Right. And this behind it are the same thing. Communism. And counter-governance, what I, you know, it's a one form that we can observe, right? It's just one display of the evilness of that system. But it really manifests in many other ways. What we see in this country now.
Let's take a really quick break before you get into that, because I would like to have you fully explore that, because your perspective is much more informed than I think most of us who've lived here our whole lives. And even if we think it's scary and off, I think your viewpoint actually informs us quite well on that. So I'd like you to get into that. How does all this connect to, you know, the socialism and progressivism and all the things that we're seeing here, and where do you think that goes?
Yeah, where's it? Where's
I'm pretty
it,
sure I know where it goes.
Yeah, we know where it's going.
Somewhere bad. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Hey!
People Radio is now on television in the Reading area. KRDT Channel 23.10, Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the American Uncensored Network.
You see, it's all clear. You are meant to be here. From the beginning.
Okay, so now you're an American citizen, and you're looking at what's going on in this country, and it has to be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Not so, to put too fine a point on it, but it's like you've been there and done that.
When I watch a lot that is going on in this country, right, and it's like I have experienced it before, even though it's a different form, right? When I see political correctness, I said to myself, "Oh, that's what it is. I've experienced it before." When I see this hatred spinning, I have experienced this before. It's just that the cultural background, the country is different, the cultural background is just different, the political setup is different. But the nature of the manipulation is the same, mm-hmm. right? Let me just name a few, right? The most important one is the rewriting of history.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, June, whom you have interviewed before, been mm-hmm. to your program before,
right?
Spoke her experience, how she was given a different version of China until she attended or watched the Shenyun show. And from there, she finds for herself what real China is. Right? And that woke her up. Right? Changing history is powerful. Right? And this is what is going on in the United States. They rewrite history. Right? So let me tell you how China has been... share a little bit with you how China's history was rewritten to fan up hatred in China. And then I'm sure our audience of you and our audience would see the similarity with what's going on here. So the biggest thing that the CCP has been playing in history is to tell Chinese people that you have been taken advantage by all kinds of people. You have been exploited. You have been discriminated. The European countries have invaded our country. They have signed, they have forced us to accept, terrible, treaties, and we have been robbed, we have been, lynched, we have been this or that, okay? Now, some of it is true, right? Human history, humanity, has made mistakes before, and we will continue to make history. We will continue to make mistakes. But to mischaracterize those mistakes make a conspiracy plan out of it. That's a different thing, right? Yes, some of the terrible things have happened to Chinese people. But it happened maybe for a different reason. It was a mistake that is happened for one reason or another, but it is not because that the European people has a ill feeling towards Chinese people as a people. It's not like, you know, the whole collection of Americans hate Chinese people. A whole collection of one group hating another group. But that's what China made us to believe. And I still remember when I was young, when I was, you know, in elementary school, I felt how lucky I was that the party told us that 2/3 of the world's people live in poverty. Actually, they live worse than poverty. They were like living dungeons. They were, you know, they live like an animal. That's what the party told me. 2/3 of the people. And only when I came out to the free world, I realized it's the other way. It is the Chinese people under the CCP who live in a terrible situation. Okay. So that's changing the history. Not only they change history, and then they degrade you. Now, this is the second part. This is happening, okay? Right, in the United States. How did the Chinese party degrade Chinese people? They tell you, our country is a backwards country, right? Because we have been taken advantage by all this European country, by America, right? So we were deprived of, you know, certain good quality. We didn't have the proper education. So you know, the Chinese people are, you know, we are low quality people. We are not deserving of democracy. And democracy would need high quality people. Right? So we have our unique situation. Right? And then so we must demand justice from, you know, those who have taken advantage and abused us before. And because of that, they have to listen to us, they have to compensate us. Right? This is essential of what's going on here. A certain group were told that they need a party to take care of them. They need government to take care of them. Right? That's what we were told. When I come to this country, when I see what's going on in this country, I say, I've seen this before. So I would love to have a, you know, conversation with my African-American friend and to share with them what I have gone through, what I see, what's going on. Right? When the government said you cannot take care of yourself, right? And that's what's still going on in China, right? The Chinese government have Hong Kong have those celebrities to come out to tell Chinese people. I realized, okay, some of the infamous celebrities tell Chinese people, you know, through all my life experience, I finally realized that we are a people that needs governance. We need to be ruled. We need to be given guidance. We don't have that quality. We have a long way to go. And that's what's going on here. This is actually very degrading. Yes, there were some unfortunate history. But that's not deliberate. In fact, it's a humanity's struggle for better, just like in this case in the United States. It's a process of making the union more perfect.
Provided we don't shoot ourselves in the foot before we get that far.
Well, that's exactly right, though. I mean, that's how we have become who we are, is through the mistakes we made in the past, and I think we can
learn from it.
Absolutely, we learn
right,
from
boys,
it. You can't erase it.
We're out of time. It has happened. It happened yet again. Hit it, Travis. Throw a little hell's bells down
Dr.
on
Chen,
this.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Chen. We look forward to chatting with you again. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll see you next week.